Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
So much stupid stuff,
yeah.
Scott Fish.
Lots of stupid stuff.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on stupid stuff here at Fantasy Football Weekly. We only get to break down games, Scott.
Yeah.
This show and one more show.
One more show.
That's it.
Three games left. Three games left.
That's all.
Yep.
What a bummer.
And then we're going to talk about aardvarks and peacocks and badgers and stuff. Just animal talk.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of this. A little peacock in there. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll work some stuff in. I think next week's show, mm-hmm. Matt Harrison will join to talk about ways to play fantasy and play around the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then the show after that will be the big Super Bowl preview show.
Yes.
And then after that, we start looking at 2024 already.
Yes, I know. Imagining Caleb Williams or Drake May in purple, I get it. Like, that's, yeah.
You think the Ravens are going to change quarterbacks?
It's anything's possible.
No, not that.
No, not that.
It really isn't possible,
yeah,
I don't think.
You're right.
But we've got two full games to break down today.
Yes.
And tons of angles, and like we've done the last several weeks, we're not doing like letter grades on every guy, but I just want to hear about angles you're interested in, angles that fantasy players could exploit.
Right.
Sometimes there might be betting angles for those of you that do that in a legal mm-hmm. area. Great. But yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on the games. And let's talk through the sort of the fun angles that you've got.
Sure.
The first game is Kansas City, Baltimore.
Yes. Sounds like a rainy, sloppy mess.
It might be rainy.
The most recent reports, like, it went from might be rainy to it sounds like it's going to rain
the
entire game.
Wow.
So good thing for Purdy, he's not at that one based on last week.
Yeah, right. Yes. And that's, you know, this came up on my KFAN show with the host, Paul Allen. Brock Purdy's had two of his last three games have been pretty bad. If he stinks in this one,
the Ravens one? Yeah, the Christmas Ravens one.
Yep.
That must be the one you're talking about.
Yeah, Christmas Ravens, and then last week's game mm-hmm. was not good.
Yeah.
If he lays an egg here, then what do the Niners do? Are they in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes at that point?
Oh, boy.
What might they do at that point? Oh, it'd be fascinating.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Their offseason would become so much more complicated than what we expected.
I feel like that team has faith in Purdy, believes
they
in
do.
Purdy. I mean, he had a good playoff run until his arm fell off last year. Mm-hmm. And he's back in the NFC Championship game. I have trouble believing they make that move, but that's possible. Lamar,
it
no.
Is.
But
yes.
this one is a little, especially because Purdy's so cheap. You know, like,
right, and that's helped them in other areas. So they've been able to,
yep.
you know, put big money towards, you know, yep. like Bosa and Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
You know, they've got, you know, they've spent lavishly on.
Yeah,
they're a heroes and zeros roster.
Yeah,
with big money on like four or five players, and then yeah. everybody else is just cheap guys. And it's worked for San Francisco yep. to this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk Kansas City, Baltimore. You mentioned rain could be a factor, and I like the running backs in this game.
Yes.
And this is before weather.
Mr. Runs Like He Bites People. Did you hear about that this week? Isaiah Pacheco finally responded to all the things people talk about his running style.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, someone's like, some reporter's like, people say you run like you're trying to bite people. And he's like, I ain't no zombie, man.
I ain't no zombie.
On.
That's really good.
Come on. He was good.
Well, let's start with Pacheco.
Sure.
Who runs like he bites people. I love that he just runs mad.
Yes,
I'm so angry.
I always worry about the career longevity of those types of runners. We've seen it a few times, mm-hmm. but yes, he runs mad.
Now, I see lots of running coming. Here's why. Ravens have lost 4 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get beat? On the ground. Listen to this.
Okay.
The 4 losses, the opponents averaged 30 rushes, 30 rushes.
That's a lot of rushes.
123 rushing yards. That's how you beat the Ravens.
Yep,
it's such a good secondary.
Keep their offense off the field. Keep Lamar off the field from making special plays.
That's part of it, but also they're really good run a pass defense not a great run defense.
Yeah.
So
Kyle Hamilton.
We're going to talk about him in a minute.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup there too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs and you're looking at how teams beat the Ravens, it's on the ground. Pacheco's, for those of you that are of a betting ilk and you like your prop bets, Pacheco's over-under on attempts is only 14.5.
Yep.
As I mentioned, in these losses, teams have averaged 30 rushing attempts. Add in some weather, that could be a game. That could be a rushing helper as well. 63.5 rushing yards is his prop number. Now, last week, they shut down Singletary. On this show, I said I liked Singletary because mm-hmm. of the reasons I'm mentioning now. This is how you go beat them. You know, get your running game going. But the Texans got... They were basically blown up by the third quarter. Singletary only got 9 carries. The 5 games prior to last week against the Ravens, they ranked, this is the last 5 weeks of the season, not counting week 18 because they didn't play the starters. They ranked 29th in rushing yards allowed, 30th in yards per carry, and they gave up 5.2 yards per rush.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Isn't this a mandate to run Pacheco?
It does feel like it. It does feel like it. Yeah. And they're a much more... Yes. Yes, it does feel like it. I was trying to get my train of thought there, but I couldn't. But yes, it does feel like a really good spot for Pacheco.
Ravens are a good pass defense. The path of least resistance on the ground. Opposing runners average 24 carries per game against Baltimore. And Pacheco, again, sitting at 14.5, I think he won't need nearly 24 to have an effective game here. Mm-hmm. So I like Pacheco to continue his hot streak. Dude's good.
Yep. I assume he's going to go. Like, I know he's had limited practices this week, but he went last week, so I feel like he's going to go again.
Let's talk Kyle Hamilton, since you brought his name up. So, he's the best coverage safety in football.
Yeah.
Year 2 of his career.
Yep.
He's the best coverage safety in football. Let me give you some numbers. The average receiving game allowed in his coverage this year. You want to guess? Yards. Give me the yards.
Yes. I'm going to go with just the yards. Okay. I'm going to go with 21.4 yards.
15
Dang
yards.
It. I went 15 intentionally
yards.
Low.
I know. Right? Exactly. Exactly. He's allowed 1 touchdown in his 18 games. So his per game average is 0.06 touchdowns per game allowed.
Wow.
Kyle Hamilton.
Wow.
But now here's the question for you. Hamilton's usage, Scott, has been like this year.
Yeah.
He plays in the slot,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes if the opposing team has got a good slot receiver, he'll cover the receiver. If they don't, he'll cover the tight end.
Okay.
So what does he do here?
Yeah, what do you do
here?
When
you have Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice, the two guys you need to take away from the Chiefs passing attack. If you take those two guys away, Chiefs passing attack is dead. So what do they do with Kyle Hamilton? Do you take away Rashee Rice, who runs over roughly half of his snaps from the slot, or do you take away Travis Kelce?
Yeah, this feels like your classic old school Bill Belichick, cover the two and put two people on the mm-hmm. one. The question is which, but I feel like they would probably just keep Kyle in the position he does more often this season. And just keep him in the slot with Rice and probably just double Kelce.
Kelsey's also standing in the slot all the time.
Or Amanda bump on Kelce and have someone over the top on him. But you could almost double both of them with the rest of that receiving
corps. You really could. And just wait for MVS, who, granted, did not drop his passes last week.
Yeah.
But just wait for him to drop his passes, right? It's going to be raining. I mean, this is not MVS territory right here.
Right.
I don't think. A slow track. Yeah. A slow, muddy track. I don't think this is a good spot for MVS.
Yeah.
Nope. My opinion. And Rashee, so I'll be fascinated. Either Rashee Rice or Travis Kelce could be sitting on a really bad game potentially.
It's very possible.
And if Hamilton ends up taking
Rice,
those guys,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's that'll be one worth watching. I've got a couple others from this game for you. Lamar Jackson. Get this.
Okay.
Opposing quarterbacks against Kansas City. 7 straight opposing quarterbacks.
Okay.
0 or 1 passing touchdown.
Against the Ravens?
Against Kansas City.
Oh,
that's how good that pass defense have been. 10 of the past 11 have 0 or 1.
Sneed missed a couple games in there, too, which is interesting.
Yep. 10 of the past 11, 0 or 1 passing touchdown. Lamar Jackson comes in. I think he's going to run much more than pass. I think the passing totals are going to be low, particularly in this weather, and just given how good the Chiefs are.
Yep, I can see that.
And that brings me to my favorite player of the week.
Oh, boy.
Were I allowed to legally bet in Minnesota, I would be betting Justice Hill's props. Mm-hmm. So, Gus Edwards can't catch.
Right.
Okay, Keaton Mitchell was the pass catcher there, but he's dead. So they're using Justice Hill more as the pass catching back out of the backfield. He's running the routes of Gus Edwards.
Yep.
Over the last month, Hill's averaging 33 receiving yards per game. Justice Hill's prop number is 11.5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
11.5. He's averaging 33 over the last month.
Yep.
So I see them throwing well throwing fairly often anyway to Justice Hill. An opposing runner has topped that line in 10 of the past 11 games against the Chiefs. Justice will be served.
Yeah, I like it. Justice will be served.
You like that?
Yeah, he's gonna hit both of those. In fact, I'm willing to bet both those probably go up in the next 2 days. And here's one reason why. First off, Charge always does his own research. Like, you always do your own research. Your rankings always have like inconsistencies with consensus and stuff
that.
So this is,
I'm dumber than consensus.
I'm prefacing this with Charge. This is a Charge call. I have seen that Justice Hill reception props so many times this week.
Oh, really?
That it's a very, very talked about line.
Okay. All right. So that might move.
So you found your way onto, like, you're like, yes, this is
That's
it.
A hot button for other people.
So I get in on it now if you're listening to this.
His Justice Hill's rushing yards, and by the way, Dalvin Cook factored in and through the passing game, but it was at blowout time at the very end of the fourth quarter of last week's game.
He got in late.
So I don't see blowout coming, although I prefer Baltimore in this game. Justice Hill's rushing number is 33.5, and I think he gets over that as well. Just the eye test, he's so much more dynamic than Gus.
Yep.
Gus is really just straight ahead, 4 yards per carry. Over the last 5 weeks, Justice Hill averaging 5.5 yards per carry, Scott.
Yeah, I'm always about 3.5, 4 years early on these kinds of things.
Nico Collins. Yes.
So whatever I say now, in 2027, just
take it to the bank.
Yeah, no, I liked Justice Hill a long time ago. He's underwhelmed. He's never quite made it. He's been hurt a lot. But he does have times when he's very efficient with the ball.
I would agree with all of that. Chiefs run defense has been better lately, but it's still the easiest way to beat the Chiefs is on the ground, not through the air. We already talked about how good that pass defense was.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to talk about with this game? Who do you think wins? I got Baltimore winning. Assuming the fix isn't in, right? I mean, who knows? I'm sure you saw what Warren Sharp tweeted about how
the referee
they put Sean Smith.
Yep.
The referee who's got overwhelmingly the strongest trends towards road upsets.
Yes.
Than any other referee crew.
Yep.
So his crew's on it.
Yeah, it's possible. He just loves causing drama for home fans, it's possible he's not fixing the game on purpose. He just hates the home fans. Like, he loves the animosity of it, and the NFL put him there, being like, "All right, let's make this happen." I'm not a big conspiracy theorist guy, but like, yeah, it is interesting,
isn't it? Interesting,
I think Baltimore should win. I think they're just the better overall team, but it's really tough to rule out an Andy Reid led Mahomes offense.
Like, I know, isn't it?
It feels like the old Favre Rodgers days, where I know they only had a Super Bowl each, but no matter who they played, you felt there's a puncher's chance.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's what it is. I feel like the Ravens should win, but I'm not going to rule out KC.
I know. Just the Raven. You know, the Ravens, in addition to just winning way more games than the Chiefs. The Chiefs were, the games they're winning, they're barely getting by mediocre opponents or even losing to mediocre opponents.
That's my thing about the Chiefs. I wonder if their offense figured it out. Like, their offense sputtered all year,
yeah.
And it started to come along at the end. Basically, when they realized, oh, Rashee Rice should be our number one wide receiver.
That helped, yes.
So, yeah, I agree.
I just feel like
they didn't put away bad teams.
They didn't, and here's the Ravens just smoking teams, right?
Smoke San Francisco, as we just mentioned.
Yes. Yeah. So, I can't look past that. I just think the Ravens, if these two teams play the way they've played for the past 2 months, the Ravens are way better.
Right. Yep. They are. All right. Yep. Absolutely.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk Detroit, San Francisco.
Yep. We get a dry, warm, mid-60s or high-60s, mid-70s mix of sunny and cloudy day in San Francisco. I say this because we all know Jared Goff is a house cat. I like calling him a house cat. I'm going to keep doing it until it catches on. He's a house cat. He's way better in domes than
his
indoors.
Outdoor games, he averages 210 yards and one passing touchdown.
Yep.
That's not going to beat the 49ers.
No. And you can say that, you know, some of those might have had more inclement weather than others, but also this is a really good 49ers defense. So that, that kind of offsets that. In his last four against this 49ers defense were with the Rams.
Yeah.
Not against the defense, but in San Francisco. He had multiple scores in all of them. Two of them really high yardage games, two of them not so much. But it's hard to bet on Jared Goff outdoors in general. Against a really good defense, it makes it a little bit harder.
It does. Now, the weather here, San Francisco.
It really should
beautiful.
Matter.
It's 70
gonna be
degrees.
It's going to be gorgeous. Like, yeah. And almost no wind, too. So it's basically like
it's almost
indoor
an indoor game.
Maybe the sun gets in his eyes. Maybe that's his problem. I don't know. I like both these teams to have a pretty close game here. But on the Lions side, let's just stay on the Lions side for a second.
Sure.
Did you know the only player on the Detroit Lions who was alive the last time Detroit went to the NFC Championship game? You'll never guess.
And so there's one. There's one player.
Yes.
Who was alive from the 1950s?
91. Wasn't it 91? No. What was it?
The Lions won the championship, I thought you said? Or no?
No,
Lions went to the playoffs.
Went to the NFC championship.
The championship game.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the long snapper, Jake McQuaid. It's the only one old enough.
Well, it's not Super Bowl era. It's got to be pre-Super Bowl, right? They haven't been to an NFC championship game in the Super Bowl era.
Maybe it's a divisional round.
Yeah.
Maybe I read that wrong.
Either way.
Yeah. Now I want to look it up.
Because if it were in the 90s, that most of the team would be alive. The guys would still be alive.
1991
sure.
against Washington. They lost to Washington.
I didn't remember that the Lions had gone that far. Yep. You're telling me the only player alive
in 1991 was Jake McQuaid, but I mean, what would that realistically make him, 32?
Oh, I got you. I thought you meant still alive today.
On the team. On the team.
Okay.
That's still playing on the team that was alive for
that
91.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I know that the 90s for guys like us feels like 10 years ago, but it was actually quite a while ago. One thing I think that's an interesting of note angle for this is Goff has not dealt with pressure well this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's top five in the league in yards per attempt and EPA when not pressured. He's bottom five when pressured.
Wow.
And for a good stretch of the second half of the season when mm-hmm. you know they lost a bunch of their games, he was the worst quarterback in the NFL against
wow.
pressure. And I know that the 49ers got zero sacks with
right.
their, you know, Hargrave and yeah. Warner and Bosa last week, but I think that they could bring some pressure, especially depending on Frank Ragnew, who has ankle injury, toe injury, knee injury, and back injury. So basically,
other than that,
basically he's just me. He's just me out there. Shocking, he went back in to play that. Like he's a warrior.
When they showed his ankle getting all, you know, crunched up and twisted the wrong way in game,
yeah.
I'm like, well, that's the end of his season.
Yeah,
and
nope.
then like you know, next nope. series, right
Get
now,
me
he's
out
back
there.
Out there.
Get me out there, yeah. So. Ragnew's going to be an interest. I think we have to assume he's going to play. Like,
yeah, he is.
He'll rest or whatever it takes to make sure he can suit up. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like every game in this playoffs feels like a Super Bowl for the Lions.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he goes. Another note, interesting note is the Lions have the lowest deep ball rate in the league. They don't throw it low. And when you think about their offense with their Josh Reynolds, well, Josh Reynolds can run deep, but, you know, St. Brown, Gibbs mm-hmm. out of the backfield, Montgomery
yeah.
out of the
Laporta rumbling
when
across the middle.
When you think about it,
yeah.
yes, they don't. But
they take, they take that deep shot every couple of times, you know, a couple of times a game.
They are one of the best and most efficient when they do. They have over a 50% completion rate when they go over 20
okay.
yards.
All right.
So it's a little rope-a-dope there.
Yeah.
See how old I am dropping rope-a-dope stuff in here. But yeah, top five in explosive success rate and deep completion rate when they do go deep. So I found those pretty interesting. When they get inside, if you're looking for any time score type props and stuff like that, they run over 70% of the time once they're inside the five.
Wow.
And they score a touchdown on 31% of their drives, which...
That's great.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
a fantastic
it's a
number.
Ridiculous number. Yeah. Nearly a third of the times.
They don't have to settle for many field goals because they're so efficient
yeah.
at scoring when they get in close, which is, you know, credit to Lions, David Montgomery.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, over on the other side, the 49ers side, I think a lot of the talk this week is going to be Purdy without Debo, if he goes or not. You know, what he's been doing in practice as of the last time I checked before we're doing this, was that he was working out on the side. He was not doing
yeah.
practices. He was just working out on the side. There's not a lot of optimism for him to go. But if he does go, it changes things. But if he doesn't go, like we're looking at guys like Ayuk garner a quarter of the target share from Purdy
mm-hmm.
Once he does go. I believe his props are somewhere in the 5 for 80 range right now.
Yeah.
So if Debo doesn't go, I would be happy with both of those numbers. I feel like both of those are in a shootout scenario. I think 5 for 80 is easily obtainable for him. Kittle, 22%. Target share, CMC, Christian McCaffrey, 18%. Jawan Jennings, 12%. You correctly not hit that during the season on Fantasy Football Weekly on a week where Debo was going to be out. You're like, I think he was either your take a chance on me player or you had a starting grade on him. And you're like, this is why.
Yeah, I think that was Vikings week,
extra.
Actually. Yeah.
He gets the extra.
Jennings, by the way, one of the best blocking receivers in the league.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He's good.
Did you see him block some guy into the Gatorade cart last week?
I missed that. I don't remember.
It was glorious. Kittle's really fascinating.
Yeah.
In the games without Debo Samuel, basically he explodes. You know, all that
yeah.
middle of the field stuff where Debo tends to get the ball out,
yep.
just they siphon it all to Kittle. In six, saw this stat from somebody on my Twitter feed. I'm sorry, I don't remember who.
That's all right.
Six career games without Debo Samuel, when George Kittle did play, he averages 91 yards per game, 3.3
Jeez.
Yards per route run. Gigantic numbers.
That is huge.
Those are big numbers for Kittle. If Debo doesn't play, or if he's a decoy
I also think Kittle's sitting out a big game. And Debo could be a decoy in this game.
Yep, it's very possible if he goes in there, he could just be. A few notes on Purdy without Debo, with and without Debo. 19 games with Debo, 7 without. Purdy's passer rating drops from 119 to 80.
Wow.
Without Debo.
Wow, that's a big change.
His yards per attempt, 9.4 to 8.3.
Wow, Debo extends the field? Because Debo's known
for all his
bubble screens and everything else.
It must be yards after the catch or something. Because this is yards per attempt, not ADOT.
Okay.
So it must be that he gets the yards on it to make it a difference. Completion percentage drops from 70 with Debo to 62% without Debo.
Wow, because 70 is huge. 62 is more like NFL norm.
Okay? Yeah, so everything about him drops without Debo, but I feel like that's probably fair for any team losing their wide receiver one or two.
Okay, I'm listening to that, but
yeah,
you have Brandon Ayuk, you've got George Kittle, you've got the best pass catching running back in football in Christian McCaffrey.
Absolutely,
Brock Purdy should be able to be fine.
As long as he doesn't have a Ravens or Packers style game.
Yeah.
I blame the Packers game on the way. I think he couldn't deal with that downpour. I think that is mostly it.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
But if you're the Lions, do you play to just take away Christian McCaffrey? Go, look, we're not losing to Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy's going to have to go play hero ball.
Right. Yep, and unlike Goff with the pressure, Purdy had the third best quarterback this year under pressure.
Okay,
which if Aiden Hutchinson, I think they can bring some pressure. But just a note, I'm going to throw two things at you from a couple of my friends over at Fantasy Life. There, Dwayne McFarlane, and I believe the second one was Ian Harditz. So maybe they're not both from Fantasy Life. I mean, both those guys are. But the last string of wide receiver ones versus the Lions, and this is a Brandon Ayuk kind of note here. Maybe Kittle a little bit. CD Lamb, 13 for 227. Justin Jefferson, 12 for 192. Puka Nacua, 9 for 181.
Yep.
Keenan Allen, 11 for 175. Mike Evans, 8 for 147. Justin Jefferson, 6 for 141. And those guys scored about 10 touchdowns combined.
Unbelievable.
And that was
so,
you know,
Ayuk should be sitting on a huge game.
Should be.
Cam Sullivan, their cornerbacks for the Lions. Cam Sullivan, Kendall Vildor. Brutal.
Yep.
So bad.
It's so bad.
Yep. And that'll be priority number one in the offseason for the Lions.
And the second part, and I believe it was Ian Harts, but if I'm crediting that wrong, that sucks. I'm sorry. It's the kind of stat I would have looked up anyway. But the last five quarterbacks against the Lions: Baker Mayfield, 349-3. Matthew Stafford, 367-2. Nick Mullins, 396-2. Dak Prescott, 345-2. Nick Mullins, 411-2.
Yeah, how about that?
The worst game was 345 yards and two scores against the Lions in the last five games.
Unreal. And, you know, so
they play those shootouts.
Let's talk Christian McCaffrey, right? Because, you know, the Lions are so easy to pass upon and so hard to run upon. I think McCaffrey could be sitting on a quiet game here.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible.
His over-under rushing number is 88 yards, 87.5.
Yes.
You know how many runners topped 88 yards against Detroit this year?
I do, because I listened to your show this morning
today. Nobody.
Nobody.
McCaffrey has to have, for him to hit his Vegas line on yards, he has to have the best game anybody's had against the Lions by 19 yards.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's happening.
it's a lot. The only wonderful caveat for McCaffrey, if you want to try to play the over on that line, is that he gets everything for them usually.
Yeah.
And with Debo out, you know, he doesn't take too many rushes anymore anyway.
No, I think that's largely dried up, right?
Yep.
Lions finished number one in rushing yards allowed, number three in yards per carry allowed, number two in rushes attempted.
Okay.
In part because their pass defense is so bad.
Yeah.
Right? Why run? Now, it's Christian McCaffrey, and that's a good reason to run.
Right.
But maybe you just throw to McCaffrey instead as a possibility.
Could be.
But Lions only giving up 60 rushing yards per game. It's just, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's not much.
Yeah. So I wonder if McCaffrey is sitting on a quiet game here.
you all heard it. Chartian said, bet the unders on Christian McCaffrey.
What a bummer that is. Who wants to sit all game long?
Yeah.
And just go, oh, man, I hope Christian McCaffrey doesn't score.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
I hope he doesn't do anything awesome.
Right. There's no fun in that.
That's why people love the overs and hate the unders.
It's true. People
do. Sharps don't care, but your casual bettors do.
While we're talking Lions for a second, did you know you can already bet the Super Bowl MVP?
Oh, boy. You can.
You can.
Okay.
So now.
You got 4 teams worth of players of odds.
That's right. You got 4 teams worth. Yeah. That's right. Now, 10 of the past 14 have been quarterbacks.
Yep.
Tell me if any of these interest you. You'd have to place his wagers today. Lamar Jackson is the favorite.
He's got to be
two,
favorite.
At 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Would you bet that?
He would be, I was going to say even before, I was going to try to guess him, but I figured Lamar would be first.
Brock Purdy, 3-to-1. You interested in that?
Interesting. I guess a little bit. I mean,
Patrick Mahomes is 4-to-1.
I'd rather put way less money on a longer shot. But.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. It's
Mahomes at 4-to-1.
4-to-1, okay.
If they get past the Ravens and get to the Super Bowl, I think you'd be pretty happy to have that 4-to-1 on Patrick Mahomes to win MVP since quarterbacks usually win it.
Yeah, I feel like Goff would be my 4th one just because I feel like if the Lions make it, I feel like the Chiefs or Ravens should take care of them. I know that they lost the Chiefs lost to them week 1, but
yeah, that's a million years ago now.
That's a different team.
What do you think about Jared Goff 9-to-1 and Super Bowl MVP?
See, that's the one I would bet on just because it's
9-to-1. I know, right? That part feels pretty good.
I feel like the order is correct, though.
But what a great story would be for Jared Goff,
gosh, that'd be great.
Who had the horrible Super Bowl game with the Rams, and then they summarily go trade him. And, you know, then with his new team, he goes back to the Super Bowl and wins MVP.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, what a great. That's such a typical NFL kind of storyline.
Yep.
Oh, it'd be a great story.
There are so many storylines with these last 4 teams. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful for that. But where do you stand as a Vikings fan on the Lions? Like, I was Barry Sanders, my favorite player of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, Lions are my second team. So, like, I'm fine if they win. I'm happy. But I know there are a lot of Vikings fans who are like, not another NFC North team before us. Not another, not a team that hasn't won before us.
I'm not that way. The Lions fans are so humble,
and they're
they've been beaten down for so long. They're so humble. They're so non-arrogant.
I will say I'm
happy for them.
For the most, 90% of the ones I know are that way.
Yeah,
I have found some that are not handling being good as well as you would expect. They're not used to being good, so they definitely have a. But it's not many of them. Almost all. You're right. Almost all Lions fans are wonderful.
Yeah, because they don't have the arrogance here.
Yep.
And that's you can't not be. And the other factor, and it's a real one.
Yeah.
My wife and I watched Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
The season before last.
Yep.
And she fell in love with Dan Campbell.
Hard not to.
She's absolutely 100% rooting for the Lions because she loves Dan Campbell.
Yep. I'm generally, especially with this, if the Bills were still in it, that'd make it a little more interesting. A lose 4 Super Bowls.
Right.
And,
versus Lions, right.
That one. But I'm more along the lines of I would love to see a fan base that has never had a championship get one for the whole fan base. I like people being happy,
The other thing, and I think we may have mentioned this on last week's show, but as great as Patrick Mahomes is, and his legacy's already set.
6 straight championships.
Right. And it's just the league is healthier when you have Brady versus Manning.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to be Josh Allen. I wanted Josh Allen to win so we could have Brady.
Right.
We could have Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Didn't work out. Maybe it's going to be Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. It's just not as a you want it as a competitive league. You want to have other players who are good too, not just one team.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, let me give you one more Super Bowl MVP angle.
Okay.
If it's not going to be a quarterback, I told you 10 of the last 14 have been quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be a quarterback, it's got to be somebody who's explosive that can turn the game on 2 or 3 gigantic plays, right? That's going to pile up 150 yards.
Jameson Williams?
No. Give me another Lion.
Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay.
Now, I told you what the quarterback odds were.
Here's my tough thing with that.
Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I told you what the quarterback odds, like 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. What do you think the odds are for Jahmyr Gibbs to win Super Bowl MVP?
30-1.
125-1. All right, now go ahead.
See, here's my problem. James White scored as a running back 3 touchdowns.
And he caught like 80 passes.
He had over 100 total yards, mm-hmm. and he scored the game-winning touchdown. And they're like, nah.
Quarterback. I know. Look, so, I get it. If Tom Brady was on the field, he was going to win it.
You do have a point. You do. It is kind of a different point, though. Like, I'm not comparing Goff to, like, the, you know, Goff is not Brady. Like, if you don't give it to Brady, there's a thing there, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you don't, I still think they'd give it to Goff, but I do like it. That's incredible odds.
Just the odds are so good,
that's
right?
Incredible odds.
125-1. They played out this week and next week 125 times.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs would win MVP like, I don't know, 9 times or 10 yeah. times or something
yep.
like that.
Yep.
Something,
I like it.
Something in the ballpark of
nine times.
So, I'm interested, not one out of 125, nine out of 125. You get the idea.
I get it. I like it. It's a really deep, I don't think it's happening, but it's
no,
fun.
Probably
it's
not.
Fun. I hope it happens. That'd be amazing.
Wouldn't it be?
And then everybody, you get the peacock of all peacocks if that happened.
Oh, that'd be so
yeah.
good.
We'd have to find a super peacock button.
Super peacock.
Because it's a Super Bowl. We need a
super peacock. Good point.
Maybe it's like an auto-tuned peacock.
Maybe we need more than one peacock. What is a group of peacocks called?
I actually don't know this.
Is it a pod of peacocks?
I don't know.
I mean, there's like there's a pod of whales. There's a murder of crows, right? What is more than what's a group of peacocks called? How do we not know this yet?
Yeah, this is insane because we're a group of people that a muster, you say? An ostentation or a muster?
Oh, ostentation's way better. An ostentation of peacocks?
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, and the plural is peafowl.
Is it really? I didn't know that. We've been saying it wrong this whole time. It's peafowl?
There's no way.
No way. Well, it's not peacocks. It's peafowl.
Females are peahens.
What?
I'm not going to believe.
No,
I'm not going to believe.
Siri's lying.
NationalGeographic.com.
What do they know about peacocks?
They don't know anything.
A muster of
peafowl.
A muster peafowl.
I gotta imagine that's the correct one, but other people, but you can use peacocks. I gotta believe that's a dual thing where you could.
If you got to the end of this peacock,
even the thing says group of what is a group of peacocks called? So like it doesn't even say peafowl in there.
If you got to the end of this podcast, which we're at now,
a group of peahens is a harem.
Is it really? Who comes up with this stuff?
Peafowl are members of the pheasant family. Interesting. No, it is definitely
peafowl. If you made it to the end of this podcast,
Jesus,
on Twitter, at ScottFish24, at Paul Charchian,
yeah.
Hashtag muster of peafowl.
Oh my god! Oh, beautiful.
I don't know what I'm gonna. What
do we do with this information?
I know. I want to know if people actually get to this point or if they've long since turned this thing off.
Gosh,
we'll find
wow.
out.
Impressive.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about Super Bowl games you can play. Matt Harrison's already prepping it. He's very excited. Mm-hmm. Ways you can have fun with your Super Bowl parties and stuff like that. And then the week after that, we'll be breaking down the Super Bowl. Can't wait. At our last chance to talk about football from the 2023 season. And after that, we're going to start getting Thor heavy with a lot of rookie talk. He's in Mobile this week, Senior Bowl stuff. So that'll be great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.